I'll invite my colleague, Sharon Roy, to come and make you a presentation on agile methodology.
So I'll just find it. Okay. So this presentation I've blatantly stolen from my colleagues, Andrew Lindsay, who developed it with several of his colleagues as well, but they graciously allowed me to use it. He's developed the presentation to show other people within IT what agile methodology is and why we're using it. And if anybody wants to know more information about it after, we can share more information about this, and Andrew Lindsay's happy to talk to anybody who wants to know more about it. So agile methodology is an approach that's used for the development process. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about why we got it. Some of this information might be familiar to you. The current situation we were facing in CCS was that we had more work to do than we had resources to be able to do it with. We had not enough knowledge about capacity and effort to make accurate estimates. So we would make pretty good guesses about how much time we thought it would take us to do things, but we didn't really know for sure how much time it was going to take. I have to balance between being able to see you and being able to see my slides. I can't do both at the same time. We also had a lack of mechanisms in place that would allow us to properly prioritize all the different tasks that we had to do. We didn't have real clear, consistent testing procedures. That's not to say that we didn't do testing. We did testing, but we didn't necessarily do it the same way all the time. And we also had compressed timelines. Because we couldn't make good estimates about the work that we had to do, we couldn't figure out exactly how long it would take us. And because there is so much demand, we didn't always get the right amount of time to be able to do the development process properly or to be able to test properly. So all of these things were creating problems and making the work a lot less enjoyable than it should be. As a result of those situations, timelines were a moving target. So we would say to our users, we'll have that ready for you by November, but then more work would come in and we'd have to postpone it, or it'd end up taking a lot longer than we thought. So timelines have been consistently a moving target. We can't meet the timelines that we've got. That results in a negative impact on maintenance and support as well. We tend to have to address the most urgent thing and not necessarily be able to keep things up and running the way that we'd like to spend as much time on bug fixes, for example, when we have to keep producing more things. And that had the effect of reducing confidence in our clients. So it's not a situation that we enjoyed. Nobody wins. It's not how any of us wanted to work at all. So the solution was actually found by some of our staff when we got the when we switched from the WPS, which was a homegrown system, to Drupal. A group of our people went to a DrupalCon, which is a conference that takes place twice a year. And at one of the conferences that they went to, they stumbled into agile methodology and got quite excited about it and came back and shared what they had learned about agile methodology. We all did more work into it and decided that it looked like an approach that we could really adopt. There's a bit of a definition up there. You can read those quotes. But essentially what's different between agile methodology and what we used to be able to do was that we would engage in long development cycles that would have milestones, and at the end of which we produced a finished product that the user got to see. Agile methodology instead really focuses on teamwork and shorter iterations, where users get to provide feedback on a more regular basis. So we looked at that. We thought that sounded good. We looked at some of the principles around agile methodology. The three pillars that really appealed to us were the transparency. Business and IT collaborate on the prioritization and review. So it's not where we're having to make decisions on our own about what we're going to do next. We also don't review things by ourselves. It's a very collaborative process. We like the adaptability, the short, frequent iterations, the fact that it's also self-reflective, that you're always thinking about what it is that you're doing and how is that working, what do you like about it, what do you don't like about it, and then the inspection. There's testing procedures built into each iteration. So we like those things. We went ahead and started working with it. I'm going to tell you a little bit now about how it's structured. So agile methodology has what we call an iteration cycle. So there are cycles that repeat over and over and over again. These are some of the basic steps within that cycle. There's a task prioritization, where we have a list of tasks in a backlog, and we prioritize that based on the business value. We don't decide the business value. The users decide the business value. And then we have an estimation where the developers estimate how much effort is required to complete those tasks. And then we have the iteration planning, where decisions are made about what task will be concluded in the iteration, and which will have to wait. And then we actually go into the sprint where the development work takes place. Throughout the sprint, there are daily scrums. In fact, we like the idea of scrums so much that we now have four every day within CCS. We have scrums for, they're very effective. So we have scrums for the web group. We have daily scrums for the content management group, for the ed tech group, and for the management group. And then also there's the iteration review. So when the sprint is done, the development work is over, then we all get together, we review the work, and then we have the retrospective after where we say, so how did that go? What did we find about that? So I'm going to show you a little picture of what that looks like. It's very circular. The team keeps reminding me there is no beginning or end to the iteration cycle. It repeats itself continuously. The red, little red circle kind of shows you what happens on a daily basis. We're forever testing things, having our daily scrum, and then going back to the circle again. The blue circle represents the entire iteration cycle. The roles in Agile methodology, there's three main roles. There's the product owner, who's the person responsible for grooming and managing the backlog, for getting input from the client about what's the priority. They act as a gatekeeper for new requests and attend meetings to represent client interests. So those are our portfolio managers. And then the scrum master is responsible for the daily meetings, and they compile a list of impediments, the things that are getting in our way of being able to do the work, and help find ways around those impediments. And then there are all of our team members who actively participate. The estimation meeting, that's the meeting where all the developers get together and they look at the tasks that are in the backlog. They estimate the projects in groups, so you'll have the entire group sits around and they'll look at a task and then they'll estimate how much effort would be required for that task. We don't do those estimations based on time or hours or days or weeks or anything like that. What we base it on are arbitrary story points. The story points are not connected to a time frame, and we do that because we find that it actually works better for estimation. And Agile methodology, you can find all kinds of different tools that you can use. You can make up any kind of thing that you want. We use story points, but you can also use, I can't think of an example, but you can use any other kind of unit, so long as it's not associated with an actual unit of time. And everybody creates a narrative around what the different tasks are. For example, I want to be able to click on something that lets me add a channels event to my calendar. So they present it in the form of a narrative, and then everybody at the table will estimate how many story points that requires. And then they norm. So anybody who's outside, say everybody guesses 4, but one guy guessed 10, and another guy guessed 100. Then the people who were the outliers have to explain why they think that it's going to take the amount of story points that they did. They norm it, there's a discussion around it, they discuss what the issues are, and then they all come up with a better sense of how much story points it actually requires. So over time, when we first do that, we'll be good on a couple of tasks, but there are a lot of tasks where we really don't know how much story points it's going to take. But over time, we're getting a better sense of how many story points tasks actually take. Here's a picture of the app that we use for it. You'll notice that there's an infinity symbol, and that stands for tasks that will take an infinity. We can't guess at the end of this task because it's that big. It's just never going to end. So that obviously requires a lot more discussion. And then there's a question mark. There's a task we just don't know. And then that's something where we can then start asking questions around that. So when they do the estimations, everybody has their mobile devices and they pick a story point and throw it down on the table and then discuss it. So once we have a sense of what the estimations are, we go into the sprint cycle. Each sprint lasts somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks. I think our current one is about 3 weeks now. All tasks are prioritized according to the business value, so the portfolio manager will have prioritized that according to the business. One thing that we really like about the iterations is that they're used to tackle a limited number of related deliverables or bug fixes simultaneously. So whereas before when we had where we would be working on a project for 6 months, you might be working on 40 different things within that six-month period. But because we've shortened the sprint down to 2 or 3 weeks, you can focus on 6 related things. So everybody's working on something that's related. The deliverables are broken down into much more smaller chunks. So the whole team is working on the same thing at the same time. As we're working through the sprint, developers just keep pulling tasks from the iteration backlog. As they finish one, they go back in and they take the next one in the priority list. So there's never ever waiting for something to do. Business and developer input determines which deliverables and bug fixes get included. So during the planning meetings, they'll sit down and decide we can handle, these are the top priorities, this is the number of story points that we have, and these are the things that can be included in the iteration. We have found that we have to be flexible enough to swap deliverables out between the backlog and the mid-iteration. So we might get partway through a mid-iteration and discover we have to swap something out. Something urgent has come in. We know that we can only handle so many story points within that iteration. So something new comes in, something else has to come out. And we do that through the prioritization process. Oh, what happened there? I've lost... each deliverable is, testing conditions have to be built before the development begins, which is very, very, very important, and the users also have to develop their testing before the cycle begins. That's something that until we had established this process, we never really had time to do properly. So that's something that we're really sticking to. Not all of our users, I'm sure some of you can imagine, are really excited about that prospect, but we're working with them on it. Each deliverable is fully functioning and tested at the end of the iteration. And nothing goes out without developer stakeholder review and approval. So if stakeholders and or developers find that there's something wrong with the iteration, unless they can sign off on it, unless they're willing to accept whatever didn't get done, it does not go live and it gets added to the next iteration process. Me and the mouse are having a fight. There we go. So we have daily scrums. I mentioned that earlier. This is one of my favorite parts of the iteration cycle. Every day we get together and we ask 3 main questions. What did I accomplish yesterday? What do I hope to accomplish today? And what's standing in my way of doing that? So every day we have a sense of what's going on and where we're at, what things we have to focus on, and what kinds of trouble we might have to troubleshoot during the day. So we always have a sense of what's going on with one another, and that's pretty valuable. This is another one of my favorite things, the burn down chart. So in the product owner's office, we have whiteboards, and then we have that burn down chart. That top line represents on one axis you see the number of story points, and then the other axis you see time. And so we draw what the line should look like from the time that we start all of the tasks down to the end. So that's what we should see happening. And then every day when we meet, we plot where we are on that line. When we first started, we were always way above it, meaning that we were not getting the task done as quickly as we wanted. But as we've progressed, as we've moved through the cycle and we've been working with it, I think for a little over a year now, year and a half or so, we've gradually been seeing that line moving underneath the top line, which is what we want to see. That means that our estimates are becoming more and more accurate. So you have this visual evidence every day. In addition to finding out people saying verbally where they're at, we also have this visual evidence to tell us where we're at relative to where we want to be. Once the iteration, the sprint is done and the development is all completed, then we get together for a review. At the review, all the developers come, our support people come, ICS representatives come, our Tier 1 and Tier 2 people come, the stakeholders come, whoever has something in the queue that got worked on, and then the team demonstrates to us what they've developed. The stakeholders provide feedback on it, the support people provide feedback on it, and then we do the UAT testing. The procedure for final sign-off really depends on the scope of what was done. A lot of times if it's just a bug fix, we review it in the meeting and it goes live and we're done. But sometimes if we're adding new functionality or a component, then we have to have some more extensive user testing done afterwards. Retrospective, also really like this. So this is a meeting that involves the entire team, where the team gets together and they do a review of how the process worked or didn't, as the case may be, and what kinds of suggestions we might have for improvement. So we look at how accurate were our estimates. Right now we're doing 75 story points per iteration. An iteration is 3 weeks long. 70% of those story points are allotted to projects and evolution. 30% of those story points are allotted to bugs. And so what we do each iteration is we look at that and we say, how realistic was that? Does that make sense, or do we need to do some adjustment? One of the things that we're always struggling with is the balance between project and evolution work and bug and maintenance work. And so we have to keep adjusting those. We also keep adjusting our story points. We had started off at one point with 130 story points per iteration. We realized that was way too much. 75 seems to be working out for us pretty well now. We also learn about our processes and what's working. For example, just recently, we used to have things set up so that in the web group, you could only make a replica of what was in prod. So if somebody had to work on something, they would replicate that and then start working on it. But then if another team member had to add to that project, they would also have to replicate from prod, do all of the changes that the other developer did, and start from there to do his work. But at the when we went through the retrospective process, someone said, well, why can't we replicate from dev as well? Then we'd be able to save all of that time and move faster. So that's the kind of thing that we discover in the retrospective that helps us do our work faster. And these are quotes from the team. I won't read them to you. I'll let you read them. This is what our team thinks about it so far. They really seem to like it. They find that some of the things that it does is it allows them to really focus. There's a greater opportunity for knowledge transfer. They like how the testing is all done as a group as well, so you don't have one person testing his own code and nothing else. The code is all getting tested by the entire group. We have an opportunity to really reflect on our process and make improvements as we go along. And they get a sense of what's being accomplished. Because an iteration ends every 3 weeks, we can say, this is what we've done. This is what we've provided to the user. And we get immediate feedback from the user as well. So we've got that ongoing dialogue. So that's what we've been doing with Agile. Any questions? Yes?
Could you give an example of the tools that you use with your team to facilitate these methodology use?
What we're using right now are some pretty simple tools. So we use a whiteboard for the burn down chart. We have a tool called Track that we use to monitor all of our tickets in. We use that mobile app that I mentioned to do the story points. Just recently, though, Bridget has shared with us that there's an Agile module in Macroscope, so we'll be looking at how we might be able to use that. Any other questions? Well, if you'd like to know more about it, Andrew Lindsay and myself, we're happy to come and share more information. Thanks to the team for letting me use your PowerPoint presentation.